Chicago, you are not going to believe. You are not going to believe what is happening in your city. Not only did they throw Crime Stoppers out of the window, Shot Stopper, the things that is happening in your city, the things that is happening in your city should not be happening in any city in the United States of America. I'm going to say that right now. So I know y'all familiar with the dude that just got killed, taking somebody on a ride in order to make sure that, you know what I'm saying, they can try to sell him a car. Let me refresh your memory for some of the people that just got here.
Developing tonight, a Rockford family believes their relative was kidnapped, killed, and left in Chicago over the weekend. Mm. Chicago police found an adult man killed in an alley in Little Village Saturday with gunshot wounds to the head and back. The medical examiner has identified the man as Crisoforo Osorio Gonzalez. His business partner says he took customers on a test drive Friday night from the car dealership they had started together.
So, I know you're familiar with that story. Just refreshing your memory. So, let me bring you up to speed as what's happening out here in these streets, though. Check this out.
Community activists working to defuse tensions in Little Village after a mass shooting involving Venezuelan migrants over the weekend.
WGN's Julian Cruz live at the 10th Police District in the city's Lawndale neighborhood with more tonight. Julian?
Well, Ray and Dina, Chicago Police, the 22nd Ward Alderman, and others working to head off potential problems before they happen by doing things like teaching asylum seekers about gang colors.
You did not miss, you did not hear that. Listen, I honest to God on everything in my life. When I heard that, I stopped the video. I said, oh, I'm going to use this one. Told the producers, hey, producers, remove a clip, put this one in there. Because the Chicago police, shout out to Brandon Johnson. Mass shootouts over the weekend in Chicago, including Venezuelan migrants. Do you know that the Chicago police is basically teaching migrants what the gang colors are in Chicago and to represent your hood? I swear to God, I could not believe it. I could not believe it. It is no way that this is happening in Brandon Johnson City. I could not believe what I was hearing. I said, this is impossible. No way. No way. Yes, they are giving migrant gang courses, Travis Slay. I said, what? What? Sid. Sid. You can't make this stuff up. Look, this is not artificial intelligence. This is not like, this is not Black Mirror. This is none of that. Seriously. Let me play it for you one more time because I know that y'all thought that y'all heard something that y'all didn't hear. This is real life. This is in Chicago. Honest to God, it's in Chicago.
And others working to head off
the neighborhood with more tonight, Julian.
Well, Ray and Dina, Chicago police, the 22nd Ward Alderman, and others working to head off potential problems before they happen by doing things like teaching asylum seekers about gang colors.
God, yes, this is happening in real life. Chicago is not a real place. Chicago is not a real place. It's not. It's not. It's stranger than fiction. It's Alice in Wonderland. It's not a real place. You did not mishear that. You did not. You're not confused. I thought I was confused. You are not confused. This is a real life thing. War Nick Warriors, come out and play! Yay.
the colors you wear, the imagery that you wear on your shirts.
Community organizations who work with migrants warning new arrivals about the hazards of unwittingly wearing gang colors.
There's been an instance where a young man was wearing his hat in a way that would identify him as the opposing side.
We want to make sure that this doesn't become a trend.
Baltazar Enriquez with the nonprofit Little Village Community Council, deeply concerned about Sunday's shooting.
This is an immigrant community, so we want to make sure that they feel welcome, that we want to make sure that they feel safe.
Enriquez referring to Sunday's heated argument that turned violent near 30th and South St. Louis, he says. A gunman said to have opened fire on a group of Venezuelan migrants, leaving 7 wounded.
Little Village boasts the highest percentage of migrants of any community.
Rodriguez says surveys and public meetings make it clear that his 22nd Ward supports the 2 migrant shelters in Little Village.
Our community has largely very much welcomed the migrants. Obviously, there are some that have challenges with the situation.
Who is this guy? Anybody in Chicago know who this guy is, who this alderman is? Let me see who this guy is. I just had his name up. Mike Rodriguez at the 22nd Ward. Mike Rodriguez. I can't believe you, Mike. Can't believe it.
Alderman Rodriguez.
Hi, is this Alderman Rodriguez's office?
Yes, it is.
Hi, is this Alderman Rodriguez?
No, he's not in the office today. This is Tony. How may I help you?
Oh, yeah. I wanted to possibly, my name is Anton Daniels. I'm a small YouTuber, but I'm trying to figure out and get some insight directly from the source to try to figure out what's going on with, you know, this shooting that happened over the weekend, and then how are they helping migrants navigate through this process? Because, you know, I don't trust the news, so I'm always trying to call and figure it out for myself.
Okay. Well, I can reach out to him, see if he has any available meetings, either through the phone or in person. As of right now, I don't really have anything, like, tangible. I'd have to talk to my chief of staff, and from my chief of staff, she'll direct me over to the alderman. But if you want to leave a message or just a callback number, and I can, you know.
Absolutely. I'll give you my callback number. My phone number is 313. I'm not sure if you're writing this down yet.
Yes.
313.
3024?
Yes, sir. That's correct.
Okay. Let me just write a quick note. Okay. I'll as soon as my chief of staff gets back in the office, I'll communicate this over to her. And then from there, either it's going to be me getting in contact with you again, or the alderman, or my chief of staff as well.
I appreciate you.
Yeah, no problem. Anything else I can help you with?
Nope, you're awesome.
All right, thank you so much for calling.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. I'll be just trying to figure out what's going on. I'll just be trying to figure out what's going on. I know that you in the office right now, Mikey. I know that y'all want all of my numbers. Why y'all listen? Stop.
Obviously, there are some that have challenges with the situation.
Rodriguez says local violence prevention groups are working to diffuse lingering tensions in the wake of Sunday's violence, with the 22nd Ward and Chicago Police communicating with the residents and asylum seekers to address concerns and questions of fairness, with longtime residents wondering why they can't get a work permit.
Let's talk about the decades of arrivals who still can't get work permits. They deserve work permits as well.
Chicago police detectives looking for Sunday's Little Village gunman who was seen fleeing in a white vehicle. If you have any information, you're asked to call detectives at the 10th District Police Headquarters. Julian Cruz, WGN News.
So listen, in addition to that, you guys don't have to worry about nothing. You don't have to worry about nothing because we not going to worry about it. Now we teaching migrants which colors and gang colors and how it is. And y'all getting into confrontations. They don't even speak no English. And y'all over there letting shots loose out here in these streets. Man, come on, bro.
Closed business is not only a sore eye, it's a gateway for violence. Because when you see abandonment, it looks as if there's no love, no hope in the community.
The lights are shutting off abruptly at three Southside fast food locations, leaving community members concerned about lost jobs and the future of those sites.
Casey Crow. Hey, she kind of hot, though. Hold on 1 second. I know they shutting down all of the businesses over there in Chicago, and three KFCs just abruptly closed and threw up boards. But let me back up for a minute. She got a little something going on for that older lady. Okay. Kind of got that Selma Hayek thing, that older woman thing. I got a thing for older women. I got a thing for the older ladies. Hey, ladies, my Mercedes, if y'all holding it together, hit me up. I got a flight waiting for you. Hit me up.
Members concerned about lost jobs and the future of those sites.
She well put together. Certainly well put together for a Chicago woman. I'm sorry, Tia. Jesus. I'm sorry. I can't. There's something wrong with me. I can't help myself. I don't want to go. Please just let me know. Because my heart can't take it anymore.
Casey Cronus live tonight with a hard-hit community suffering yet another loss. Casey.
John and Scott, all three KFC restaurants that are closing their doors are owned by the same franchisee. Now, this comes in Chatham as it's not the first business to close down in the last several weeks.
I'm the problem.
Posing new challenges for the community.
It's something we're seeing across the city. But nevertheless, neighborhoods, it hits differently.
In Chatham, Greater Grand Crossing, and Bronzeville, Colonel Sanders is saying goodbye to three restaurants, once busy with customers, but now suddenly boarded up.
There was no communication. I saw what the residents saw, and disappointed just the same way they are.
Sixth Ward Alderman William Hull says the news came as a surprise, especially at 83rd.
Talk to him, sister. Leave me alone. I'm a man. Men be menin'. That's what we do. Look at that. That is an unfortunate sight. Don't y'all know that blight absolutely begets blight inside of the community? Blight begets blight in the community. No more circulation of the dollar. This was a franchisee, meaning that this was a local operator operating in the community. And he said, listen, we tired, boss. Dawn Hasbrook. Okay, all right. They said, we tired, boss. There's too much violence in the community. We can no longer take it. Wow, Boston Market just closed all of their stores too?
In Drive, where renovations have been underway for months.
I'll say about 6-7 months, stop and go. More time stopping than going.
Also stopping sales, the KFC at 75th and Lafayette in Greater Grand Crossing and 35th and Calumet in Bronzeville, leaving employees out of work.
Any job loss is a life loss, in my opinion, because everyone deserves the opportunity to make an honest and clean living.
A spokesperson with KFC tells us the closures came, quote, as a normal course of business, adding, while this is always a difficult decision, we appreciate the patronage of our loyal guests. But in Chatham, it comes less than 1 month after local movie theater Cinema Chatham shut down, vacancies that Hall says he is focused on replacing and revitalizing.
Y'all do realize that blight begets blight. So, like, for example, I seen Glow Hardy in the chat, and Glow said, ah, they'd be all right. They got Heralds. You don't want any kind of vacancies in your neighborhood. Because the more vacancies that you have, the less traffic you're going to have, which then begets more vacancies. That's why it's so difficult for the Miracle Mile that's dealing with a more than 33% one out of every three businesses at the Miracle Mile is vacant. In Chicago. And so it's not about whether or not you don't have a KFC. It's more or less about whether or not you have money and jobs and opportunity and vibrancy and life circling throughout your community. Because once you start to make it unsafe and businesses no longer feel the need to be able to invest in your community, eventually it goes down and it turns into the hood. It turns into the ghetto. It's not about the KFC. It's about, as one business goes, two businesses go, as two businesses go, four businesses go, as four businesses go, and so on and so forth, right? Because it's a chain reaction. If everybody inside of the plaza, or if everybody within a corridor, right, or a community is thriving, then that means that I have a greater possibility of thriving because I can leapfrog off of that because people are now going to want to be a part of whatever it is that's happening in that community, right? If you got a bunch of customers coming into your store, it's a possibility that I'll get a bunch of customers that rub off of you, and then you'll get a bunch of customers that rub off of me. And so we kind of help each other. And when everybody is doing good, and this is the idea behind success when it comes to group economics, when you doing good and I want you to do good, and instead of me taking what you got, I'm going to go and get mine too, and then I'm going to pull mine and I'm going to bring it into there, and then we both going to do good because we both going to be feeding off of each other and we're going to be successful. And it's the same thing when it comes to businesses and communities. And so when you see huge, huge communities, when you see malls and you start to see a lot of vacancies in malls, there's more to come. Instead of it being a waiting list, it's duress. And so when you see crime happen and then you start to see vacancies, and then you see the shot stopper stopping, and you see more migrants coming in, and you see them teaching about gang colors. Next thing you know, you start seeing the graffiti. Next thing you know, you start seeing squatters. Next thing you know, you start seeing tagging. Then you start seeing garbage pile up because there's no finances that's coming in order to get that trash cleaned up, and there's no taxes that's actually building up. Then the schools start to fail because why? Because the tax dollars go down, and the tax dollars is things. The property taxes is what props up the schools, right? And so it starts to be a trickle-down effect. You don't want to see any kind of duress. And next thing you know, you're going to start seeing the cash advances, the homelessness is going to spike, gang activity, lack of opportunity, more duress, and then it just goes all downhill from there. Until somebody comes in and they gentrify it. Then the people are going to be mad because somebody improved the neighborhood and they starting to raise the property taxes back up. So my point is that we're all interconnected. Everything is connected when it comes to success within a community. When one business, you don't want a business to fail. That's the last thing you want, is for the business to fail. You don't want to start seeing foreclosures in your neighborhood. You don't want to start seeing crime pop up. You don't want to start seeing your schools going down. You don't want to start seeing teachers leave. You don't want to see a lack of police presence. You don't want to see a precinct close. You don't want to see any of this stuff happen, because the minute that you start seeing a bunch of dollar stores pop up in your neighborhood, and you start seeing a bunch of liquor stores with bars up, and then some Chinese food places with plexiglass on there, then you're going to be complaining and crying and talking about how it's systematic. No, you just said that it was okay for it to close, right? Everything comes back down to the money. Every single thing. So y'all got to want for it to be well and more inside of your community. When you see an anchor store close inside of a mall, a big, huge store, a Macy's, or, a JCPenney's was closing all of their stores, or Lord and Taylor. You know what I'm saying? When you see an anchor store close inside of a mall, that's a sign of times. And it's unfortunate.